226 of Board Game Blitz, a podcast about all things board games that you can listen to in less time than it takes to figure out that Y2K really isn't as big of a deal as everyone was making it out to be. Board Game Blitz is sponsored by Gray Fox Games. This week, we're talking about games that were released in the year 2000. First, we discuss a couple games we've played recently, my puzzle adventure Dragon and Box 2. Then, we talk about some of the first board games that were released this century. And now, here are your hosts,
Ambie
and Crystal.
Recently, I haven't been playing that many games outside of just with my kids. So.
I was gonna say, I actually haven't been playing as many games lately either. Like, December is always such a busy month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually, like, printed out a bunch of button-shy games to play over the holiday and then didn't play any of them. But I did play My Puzzle Adventure Dragon, which is a game that I got for my kids for Christmas. And by I played it, I mean, like, I kind of watched my kids play it and read it for them. So it counts as a play. But My Puzzle Adventure Dragon is in the My First Adventure series. It's published by Gameflow in 2023, designed by Antonine Baccara and Romaric Galanier. But this is like the same people that made My First Adventure Finding the Dragon, which I've talked about a lot before. That was a Choose Your Own Adventure book series. And it's the same story and same characters, but this is a jigsaw puzzle adventure. It's not available in the US. I imported it from the UK. It's a French company, so like it was translated to English and it's in the UK now. I don't know if it'll ever be available in the US, because some like jigsaw puzzle stuff like this is not as popular in the US as in the UK or something. I'm not sure.
It's probably because of people like me, because jigsaw puzzles and I, my brain does not.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the things that I want are always just like in the UK, and I'm like, ah. I want
Clearly,
that.
You were meant to be British, Ambie.
Yeah. But anyways, My Puzzle Adventure, Dragon. It's a 42-piece floor jigsaw puzzle. It's very colorful and big pieces. And so the kids will put it together themselves.
Ooh, those are big pieces.
So yeah, they'll put it together. And then it'll have a big picture, like a village with a dragon and characters. Well, it doesn't have the dragon in the picture, but yeah, you're trying to find the dragon. And so the way the game works is after you put it together, the jigsaw puzzle, you pick one of three characters. And it has the characters on the box. You can pick Lena, the tough nut, or Timon, the wizard, or Sawtshot, the thief. And then whoever you pick, it tells you to find that person in the picture and then turn over that puzzle piece. So once you find the person in the picture, you turn over the puzzle piece, it'll have the number one, and then it'll have a little story blurb. So it has some text on it. And so I read it to the kids, and then it's like, oh, you need to find this now. And so they find that in the puzzle, and you take that piece and turn it over. And then as you're taking the pieces, you put them back in the box. So like it's a smaller picture that you're looking at, and you're just like going around finding different things, and eventually you find the dragon. And so it felt like a mix of jigsaw puzzle, escape room, and like hidden pictures, because like it's kind of this adventure story, but you're doing hidden pictures to find the things. And it's not always just only looking for one piece. It does branch off because there's three different characters. It kind of has an overlapping story, but it's like if you're this one, then you're looking for this, and if you're these other characters, then you're looking for this. And then at one point it's like look for five of this item, and then those pieces you just put back in the box because those are the pieces that you didn't see because you were a different character type thing.
Oh, okay.
So we only played it once so far, but I want to play it again with the other characters. Well, I want my kids to play it again. I think they liked it.
I mean, it sounds like you want to play it again, really.
Yeah. The thing is, like, the puzzle is too easy for me. It's just 42 pieces. Like, I want one for adults. And so this led me down like a rabbit hole of looking for more escape room puzzles for adults. They obviously don't have ones with full text on the back, text and pictures on the back for adults, because most adult jigsaw puzzles aren't large enough to fit illustrations and text. But I've heard of some that have like numbers on the back that you like reference with something else. So, but that's also like a Ravensburger Germany thing that's not really much available in the US. Anyway, My Puzzle Adventure Dragon is good if you like jigsaw puzzles, escape room type, hidden pictures. By you, I mean your kid. If your kid likes those things.
You also, but mostly your kids.
Yeah. So it's good for like little kids who like jigsaw puzzles and like hidden pictures and stuff. And it helps if they know the story, if they have My First Adventure Finding the Dragon and they like that story and those characters, because it's the same. So yeah, I really liked our one play of this.
Nice. Well, I'm also treading into escape room-esque territory. You all have heard both Ambie and I talk in the past about Box 1, which was an escape room-style puzzle board game that was created by Neil Patrick Harris. I know I liked it a lot. I believe you did too, Ambie,
yep.
Right? All right. So in 2024, Neil Patrick Harris and the company he worked with released Box 2. For those of you watching on video, this is Box 2, very similarly styled to Box 1. As a preface, I will not be spoiling anything specific within the game during this review. But if you are interested in playing this game, I highly recommend you continue listening to this review. Because it sucks.
Oh, no.
Real bad.
Really?
Like, I am fairly forgiving of escape room games in a lot of ways. Even ones that are like too easy or even a little too difficult at times. Like, this game is somehow both too easy and equally frustrating at the same time. And this is not really a spoiler at all. It has to do with how the game progresses story-wise. For those of you who have played Box 1, they do a similar thing with this one where you do have to go to a website and there is a digital interface that you interact with while you are playing the game. That digital interface is a very large part of the game this time around. You interact with it almost constantly. I won't say what you're doing with it or why, but the entire time, it feels like the game is holding your hand in a not fun way. You're being guided through things that you don't need guidance through. And then the puzzles are not interesting for the most part. They utilize, again, I don't think this is a spoiler, but there is, if you've played escape room games in the past that utilized a thing where you have to look inside part of the box to see things, they utilize something similar in this game in a number of ways. And it is very difficult to see some of the things that you have to look into the thing to see to a fault. Like, I literally knew what I was looking for in some instances. Like, looked it up online, knew what I was looking for, and still couldn't find the thing. At least one part of mine was broken. And I won't say what that was, but it was not functioning the way it was supposed to. It did not prevent me from doing the game, but it was definitely not functioning the way it was supposed to, which made things a little bit harder. Oh, and one of the very first things that you have to do, I guess this is a tiny, tiny, tiny spoiler. There's a jigsaw puzzle at some point. It has no edges. They gave you puzzle pieces that have no edges and expect you to put it together. And the picture is not a picture. It's not like it's something, all the pieces basically look the same for all intents and purposes. And if you ever play this, you'll see what I mean. I'm not going to be more specific than that. But I, as a person who is bad at jigsaw puzzles, I rely on things like edges and color matching and other like pattern map. I literally worked on it for an hour. Like, this is a small jigsaw puzzle. I'm talking like a very small puzzle. And I was so bad at it. And I looked online later. I was like, am I the only one? No. Other people online, same thing. They were like, we're so frustrated by the jigsaw puzzle that we almost quit. Like, that is...
Wow.
I feel vindicated, basically, by looking online. Because after the fact, I was like, am I just an idiot? Am I, like, what? Like, no. The puzzles were both too easy and also very frustrating. And I had a horrible time. Honestly, it was the worst. Oh, and similarly to Box 1, at the end of it, you get a commemorative token as, like, a memento. The token sucks this time. Like, last time, it was a nice, big, heavy, circular coin thing with a spinner. It was chonky. This is a teeny thin little rectangular metal. I don't even know if it's metal. It sounds metal, but it is so lightweight. It is crap. Like, I was waiting. I was like, maybe the token will be really cool. Nope, definitely not. It is the whole thing. I know Neil Patrick Harris will never hear this, thankfully, because honestly,
do you think
he
was like as involved in the...
He was very involved. Oh. And I know he was involved because of things that I won't say that it would be spoilery. Uh-huh. He was very, very involved. And I don't know who dropped the ball here, but I will say there were at least a couple of gimmicky, puzzly things that were very cool. One in particular that shocked me that I'd never seen in a game before. And you all know I love a gimmick. That alone, not even close to making up for all the bad stuff. I usually say, you know, your mileage might vary. Maybe you like it, maybe you won't. I think this game is a do not buy. I would honestly say, even if you liked Box 1, don't get this. It's really disappointing, especially if you had expectations from coming in after Box 1, which I did because they did such a good job with it. This, nope, it's bad. I I'm so... Neil! I'm mad at you! Doogie! How dare you! Barney Stinson! I trusted you! And this is a bad game. So I'm glad that I bought it and tried it before hopefully a lot of other people did, because I'm hopeful that I can warn some of you away from it. Yeah, don't buy
play
this
it.
One. I mean, hey, you know what? If you want to, truly, I would love for somebody else to buy it and then come back to me and be like, yeah.
Well,
no,
I don't want to buy it, but like, I wonder if it'd be worth it if I could just find it like for free.
Technically, the game is resettable and replayable to its credit. So if you want, maybe.
Well,
I'll...
you said part of yours was broken, so I don't know if I want yours.
Well, it's, I mean, it doesn't prevent you from playing the game. But I could repackage mine and send it to you if you really want to do it.
I don't know.
Normally, I pass my games on to Kathy, but after she hears this review, I don't think she's going to want it.
Yeah.
So,
I'm
yeah,
better with jigsaw too. Puzzles, though, so that, like, that part I might be okay with. So
it's so like, small, though. You'll be done with the puzzle in, like, 3 seconds,
yeah,
honestly.
So then, I mean, so then that part won't bother me as much, and so maybe, like...
Like, it's, I don't know how many pieces it was. It was, like, probably, like, 25, 30 pieces, maybe? Like, it was a very small puzzle, and I just literally could not solve it, so...
Wow.
I did eventually, just took me... I had to get up, leave, and then come back another time with fresh eyes, because I'd been staring at it for so long that it was all blurring together. But yeah, I was so bummed, because I wanted to love this, and maybe I came in with too high of expectations, but it still disappointed me heavily, so...
So sad.
That's box 2! I'm gonna call it box negative 200, or something like that, because it's bad. Ambie, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the year is now 2025, and that means the year 2000 was 25 years ago.
Wow.
time is a mystery. I just turned 40, and I'm already breaking down physically. It's started already, but I did think that it might be a good time to revisit some of the board games that actually came out in the year 2000, because holy moly, that was 25 years ago now. I was in high school at that time.
I was in middle school, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, quite some time ago now, but there were a decent number of well-known board games that have definitely stood the test of time that came out in the year 2000. I know we like to think the board game renaissance, I think most people liken it to happening a little bit later than 2000, but some good stuff came out in the year 2000.
Like a lot of the older classics, like modern classics. Like Carcassonne came out in 2000, and that's like still one that people play and use as a gateway game. I don't play it much because I never really got into it. Like, I remember playing it once or twice and didn't really, like, I never got into it. But I know a lot of people do play it. People play it with their kids, with, like, simpler scoring. I think there's a My First Carcassonne, too. That didn't come out.
Oh, there's a lot of Carcassonnes. Like,
yeah, I know. But I think about kids all the time. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's lots of Carcassonnes, expansions, everything.
Yeah, I've played Carcassonne a decent amount over the years. It's not one that hits the table frequently for me. There are some expansions that I really like. Is it Princess and the Dragon, I think, is one of the ones that I really like. I think that's the name of it. And there's some other ones, too. But even base game Carcassonne, I do enjoy. It's, you know, somewhat simplistic, but it's fun. And yeah, I think there's a reason why it has stuck around as long as it has. Because the idea of play a tile, draw another tile is just, you know, it's easy to teach. And then all you have to really teach people after that is just how the scoring works. So I think it's a good gateway game still. The theme is a little bit boring and pastoral, as it were. But hey, you know what? That works in some board games, so. Another game that came out in 2000 that I like and have played a number of times over the years is Blokus, or Blokus. I've still never really found out how to pronounce that one. B-L-O-K-U-S. I've heard it pronounced all sorts of ways. Do you know how do you pronounce it?
I don't know, because I don't say it out loud that often. I think I probably
just look at it.
Maybe Blokus, I think. Yeah, I think I say Blokus in my head.
I think I used to say Blokus always. And then I think I heard one person say Blokus, and I was like, oh no, is that the right way? And then I started saying Blokus. I don't know.
So like, I've heard it both ways, and I don't know.
Blokus makes more sense to me, because in the game, all the players are placing down these little colored, kind of transparent tiles onto a board in their different player colors, and they're all like little square shapes, making not tetrominoes per se, but kind of things that are similar to tetrominoes. things.
Like polyominoes, right?
Yeah. Well, they can be connected diagonally, I think, too, right?
Like, wait, I don't think the shapes are connected diagonally. I think you have to put them down so they're touching only the diagonal.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have played this, but it's not since I started logging plays. So I haven't played it in the last, over 10 years? 11?
Yeah.
I don't know. But my parents had it when I was little. Or I guess not that little. Sometime after 2000.
Yeah. When you were younger.
When I was younger, yeah.
But yeah, this is, yeah, you know, a classic one that a lot of people have played. What's another one from 2000 that you like?
So yeah, a lot of them I haven't really played recently. I checked, the one game in my collection that's from 2000 is Monza, which is a children's game. This is a game from Haba. It's a racing game for children, and you roll dice and then match the colors and try to move your cars along the road. I don't really like it that much, but it's good for kids who like cars. It's kind of annoying because you have to like roll the color that is in front of your cars. And so there's like different options. And if you don't roll any of those colors, then you're kind of out of luck. You do get 6 dice to roll, but like sometimes you just can't do it and you get stuck. So that can be frustrating. But I mean, it's good like for very young kids, color matching and racing, and you get little cars that you play around with. Yeah, that's a classic children's game, Monza.
Yeah. And all kids love moving little cars around, right? Like, yeah.
Oh, and another one that I like, I don't have, but I remember playing it at BGGCon, is Hamster Roll. This is a dexterity game with a big circle tube that you roll.
Wheel?
A wheel, yeah.
Circle tube.
It's like a hollow wheel.
It is.
Like, well, I mean, out of wood.
I guess wheels don't have to be hollow. So
well, yeah, but like it's like it's a cut up tube because it's a like wooden, a flat, like wooden
circle
yeah,
that you stand up.
Uh-huh. And then it has like little shelves inside. And so you're placing different shaped wooden pieces onto it. And it kind of like the weight of it makes it roll. And so you don't want them to fall off. And so you're just like putting them on and balancing. And then it kind of rolls. And then eventually things fall off. Yeah, I think I only played that once though, maybe. I don't remember, but it was cool.
Yeah, I don't own Hamster Roll, but I've played it before at cons where they had like dexterity games set up. And I feel like this one may have gotten reprinted somewhat recently.
Yeah, I remember hearing about it recently more. Like,
yeah, because like I've seen people playing it again.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, 2024.
Oh.
25th Century Games edition. Republished it last year. Released in October of 2024. So actually just reprinted. Yeah, this is a fun one.
I guess all these games are celebrating their 25th anniversary, huh? So they might get
that, like, makes sense. This one is one of those games that for a long time before I played it, I had heard people talking about as one of their, you know, like, oh, it's out of print, but it's really fun kind of games. I wouldn't mind owning this one, truly. Like, I think, but yeah, I guess you have to have a level playing surface because otherwise it's going to go rolling right off the table. So we would be remiss if we did not mention the game that makes Eric Sommerer scream, and that is Citadels. I definitely have played Citadels, but it has been a long time.
Yeah, me too. 2014 is my last play.
Honestly, that's probably around the last time I played it as well, if I had to guess. Yeah. I remember playing it, like a friend brought it to a game night and I played it, and I just remember not being super wowed by it. Like, it wasn't horrible.
Same here.
I didn't hate it as much as Eric does, but I didn't feel the need to like add it to my collection. And back then, like when I likely would have played it, was around the time that if I played a game and liked it at all, I generally bought it because I was still building my collection. So I feel like I really must have not been impressed.
Yeah, I don't think I liked it. I don't remember much about it though.
But, I mean, people still talk about Citadels to this day, so clearly it has some popularity and a lot of fans, just not all fans, I guess. It's divisive, we'll say.
Another game that I've played, it's been a long time, I played it in 2013, is Lord of the Rings. This was, like, I think the first cooperative game. One of the first cooperative games. I know there's a lot of games with Lord of the Rings, so it might be hard to find, but yeah, Lord of the Rings in 2000, it was designed by Reiner Knizia, and it's a cooperative game. I don't actually remember much about it. So I didn't like it like that much, but I think it was influential for its time or something. Like, I mean, it was the first cooperative game and it was Lord of the Rings themed.
Cooperative games have gotten a lot more popular, as have Lord of the Rings themed games.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, this started it all. No, I think Lord of the Rings has been around longer.
Just slightly.
Yeah. I think, you know. So I think like the kind of outdated mechanisms and stuff, but it's still talked about as, you know, this was one of the old games that was cooperative and stuff. But I didn't like the game that much when I played it.
I mean, they can't all be winners, right?
Yeah.
Thankfully. Because if they were all winners, then we would never have time to do anything but play board games, I guess.
That's fine.
There are a couple of party games that came out in the year 2000, one of which I did not learn about until much later, and one of which I actually probably started playing closer to when it was released, so probably relatively close to 2000, although I don't know what year. I definitely played Jenga Truth or Dare with some of my friends 25 years ago. It would have probably been, I would guess, like maybe 5-ish years after it came out. Around the time I probably hit drinking age would have been the time that my friends and I would have likely played something like this, because in the game, some of the tiles had questions on them, truths, and some of them had dares on them. And then there were a lot of blank tiles that you could write your own truths and dares on. And as young 20-somethings, I think you could probably imagine where that goes, you know, when you're having a party. So honestly, quite fun as a young 20-something. A lot of people have gotten a lot of fun out of Jenga throughout their lives, and that one was a neat version to play as a beverage imbibing version of the game, potentially. And then later, I learned about Moods, which is a party game that my friend Elissa introduced to me, which is about making faces at your friends and trying to get them to, I think it's trying to get them to guess what mood you're trying to make with your face. Is that right? I can't remember. It's been a while since I've played
it. Yeah. I'm reading the description because I don't really remember either. It's been a while since I've played it. In 2015, apparently. And I said everyone guessed correctly, pretty much, so.
Yeah.
I guess it wasn't that hard.
Yeah, I remember it being relatively easy, but still, like, fun.
My parents get a lot of games from Goodwill, like party games like that, so I think this is one that they got.
That feels like a Goodwill game for sure. And I think, like, the box is, like, neon green. Mm-hmm. Or something. I remember it very distinctly. It's a very note. Like, you, if you see that box, you're like, oh, that's Moods. Some other games that came out in 2000 that neither Ambi nor I have played include Battle Line, Star Wars Queen's Gambit, which technically did get kind of reprinted.
With Star Wars Risk?
Yeah, the Star Wars Risk game.
I owned at one point, but never played it.
It's funny because people are, you know, if you look at it thematically, it's based on one of the crummiest Star Wars movies, but it's one of the best Star Wars board games, which is an interesting thing. And it became infamous for a very long time that, you know, nobody could find it. But I guess Star Wars Risk kind of reprinted it. Hera and Zeus also came out in 2000. And I know that eventually got reprinted as, I believe, Thunder and Lightning. Like, that one has had some staying power over the years. The miniatures version of Mage Knight came out in 2000, which apparently was WizKids' very first game that they published. So WizKids must be celebrating their 25th anniversary this year.
Yeah.
But this is not the Mage Knight board game. It's an older, it's a miniatures game, but I think...
It was like a precursor to HeroClix, we found out when we were looking it up.
Which kind of neat. And then also, I don't know how popular it was, but Save Dr. Lucky came out in 2000, which was the sequel to Kill Dr. Lucky. I know Kill Dr. Lucky is relatively popular. I don't think Save Dr. Lucky.
I haven't heard of that one. I've heard of Kill Dr. Lucky, I think, but not.
That's why I put it on here. I was like, Kill Dr. Lucky is really popular, but I don't think Save Dr. Lucky is.
Yeah, who would want to save him? If they're killing them, really.
I mean, the theme, I actually read the description because I'd never, but Save Dr. Lucky, apparently he's on the Titanic and he thinks he has good luck. So he's trying to stay on the ship and you're trying to get him off of it. Like, I'm like, that's morbid.
What?
I don't know. What, have you played Kill Dr. Lucky? Because
no.
I haven't. Now I need to look up what you're doing in
game. Here it says you hate Dr. Lucky, so you want him dead.
And then for some reason in the sequel, we like him again, I guess.
Yeah.
One last game that came out in the year 2000, which we kind of have played, I guess, but Twilight Imperium 2nd Edition came out in 2000. We've played 3rd Edition and 4th Edition of the game. I never played 2nd Edition, but, you know, Twilight Imperium is Twilight
But I think
3rd
Edition
Imperium.
Changed it a lot, so...
It? I don't know, because when a game has had two more editions in the intervening years, you have to assume the game is, you know, pretty popular.
Yeah.
So yeah, lots of good stuff came out in the year 2000. I can't believe it was 25 years ago. Maybe we will continue exploring later years in the 2000s at some point, but we would love to hear from you all what your favorite games that came out in the year 2000 are, whether we named them here in the podcast or whether we left them off our list. Hit us up on social media or in the Blitz Discord. If you're not in our Discord community, the link to join is in our show notes. We do weekly game nights and lots of fun stuff in there, and we'd love to have you as part of our community. So yeah, hit us up, let us know.
And that's it for this week's Board Game Blitz. Visit our website, boardgameblitz.com, for more content and links. This episode was sponsored by Gray Fox Games. If you've got some holiday cash burning a hole in your pocket, treat yourself to a copy of one of the hottest 4X games to ever hit the world of board games. Last Light is available now at grayfoxgames.com. And don't forget that Blitzkeeteers get 20% off all non-exclusive items by using the code BGBLITZ24 at checkout. Join the Blitzkeeteer community on Discord for game nights, discussions, and more by following the link in the show notes. Support the show by leaving us a rating and review on your podcast provider. And if you like us a lot and want to support us monetarily and get some cool perks, check out our Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/boardgameblitz today. Our theme song was composed by Andrew Morrow. Until next time, I just want someone to play with me, oh, 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 and always be there when I came. Bye, everyone!
Bye! In less time than it takes to figure out that Y2K really isn't that big of a deal. Oh, sorry. Well, I'm gonna start over. Okay. Hello, and welcome to... God dang it. Don't look at me. Your face is funny.
That was like 5 minutes ago.
Okay.